100 Word Stories.
Hey everybody, this is Lauren Simon. So, every week I tell you blah blah blah, weekly challenge, 100 Word Stories. I tell you the URL, oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. You're already here. Or you're already subscribed. I mean, it's like, hey, subscribe, Twitter, this and that. And I just don't understand it. You're already hearing it. It's not like people are burning CDs, they're smuggling them into China, flash drives with Bradley Manning. I don't get it. I don't know why other podcasts keep saying that. Maybe they say, oh, yeah, and you can do this on our Facebook. Hey, I barely pay attention to Facebook. They spy on me whether I go on there or not. So all that spiel, all that funny stuff, I don't know. But what I do know is that it's Sunday, weekly challenge. The topic is faint, although if you spelled it F-E-I-N-T, I would, you know, that's cool too. It's all right. It's what you're inspired to write, what the topic inspired you. If faint inspires you to write about English muffins, go ahead. I don't know. I don't know how your mind works, but it's beautiful. It's beautiful to me. And one person whose mind is beautiful to me, and I love how his mind works, is Thomas, way up there and way up thereabouts. So here's Thomas and his stories. Enjoy.
Fainting spells were the specialty of Dick the Magnificent. He would put one of his spells on a member of the audience, and they would be compelled to cluck like a chicken and mime laying an egg. The first time this was seen in our little country town caused many older women and gentlemen to swoon as the volunteer from the audience laid a very large golden brown egg and it rolled over the edge of the stage, accompanied by her squawks and nervous clucks. A faint noise came from the brown egg, lending more drama to the scene. The fad hit the high school a week before graduation. Kids were making themselves faint. Danny taught a bunch of kids in his trig class how to faint. To make yourself faint, first get into a frog position and hold your breath for 15 seconds. After 15 seconds, stand up and put your thumb in your mouth. Keep holding your breath, and you should faint. 12 kids did this simultaneously out of sight of the teacher. They all went out at the same time with their thumbs still stuck in their mouth. The teacher called the police and fire departments. I'll be taking a hiatus from 100 Word Stories for an indeterminate amount of time as other duties call. Thank you for everything, Lawrence. Bye-bye.
Cool. I like those. I got an image of a high school fainting team. You know, it's like, hey, you just slightly passed out there. You're a little woozy. I think you're going to be on the JV squad this year, but you'll be up for varsity. And, like, their letter jackets are padded so that when they fall. Although, if they're frog sitting, then I don't know. Thank you, Thomas. Inspiring. You see, it's a good day. It's a lovely day. I was hammered off my ass last night at Kay's Lounge. I posted a photo of the place on Flickr. And Bob Allen trying to hone in on the missus. But still, look, it's a beautiful place. Jack, Coke, wonderful. I even had two Shiner Bocks. Not necessarily in all that order because, yeah. Step backwards, you're going to get sick. But man, I knew enough to eat beforehand because it's a bar. You know, it's an ice house. It's a roadhouse. It's Texas, baby. And God bless Eldon, wherever he is. He's probably looking down on all of us, wondering, since when is there Jack Daniels? So, good time, and saw a friend, you know, his 40th birthday, and he proposed to his fiance of many, many years, about damn time. So it's just all these folks. It's like the good ones were there. No evil. No evil ones. No bastards. Which is what I love about that group. They weed out the scum. Wait, I haven't been there for a while. Anyway, let's continue with let's keep the Tom theme going. So here's Tom. So we've had Thomas, now we have Tom. Yeah? We could make this. Should we make the topic Tom? No. It's actually, in a way, next week's topic. You'll see.
Hello, night people. Tom here, and tonight's story is called A Well-Defined Relationship, Part 3. Timmy readjusted his goggles and powered up the railgun. Bannister hummed an old miner's song as the Clarks rolled through the clouds. The sky is not for one who is faint of heart. The song trailed off as a group of floaters made for the stage. The floaters were named after that ancient A.C. Clarke novelist. They could not hold their liquor, which unfortunately was where they spent their entire adult life. As they whooped it up, Tim caught the faint edge of red coming straight at him. "Oh, cry for me as I depart," finished the coachman.
Thank you, Tom. Don't cry for me, the coachman. Now, if you remember, back in the early days of the sitcom Cheers, what was his name? The guy who played Coach. He passed away, and then Woody Harrelson came in, got his big break. So, that's okay. The coachman left, in came Woody, and a star is born. And a lot of hemp was woven into clothes, and the rest was smoked. Zombieland, Twinkies, when are they coming back? One day I want to know how my mind works. Oh well, it doesn't. I'll just fix a few things while you listen to Jeffrey. He's got stories. That's kind of a crappy segue. I need to work on that.
Hello, Jeffrey Fisher here, back for another week of the 100 Word Stories Weekly Challenge. I am back from recording this in a noisy hotel room and back to recording this in a noisy office. So, with that, on with the stories. This story is called Countdown. Space travel is not for the faint of heart. It starts with rigorous training, moves on to high G forces, smashing the body, continues with the continual nausea of weightlessness, and culminates in months of boredom in space before the heart-stopping panic of the landing attempt. Sarah, I know I've told you all this before. Mainly, I'm dictating this letter to calm my nerves as we undertake the final maneuvers to land on Triton. My work is done. Others have responsibilities yet, but not me. I'd rather babble on and think of you than think of the improbability of a successful landing. As I say, not for the faint of heart. Here comes the final countdown. I hope you don't mind if I wish myself luck. My second story is called Lingering. Lisa wrinkled her nose. A faint odor of perfume lingered in the bedroom and on the pillowcase, a floral aroma far different than her own brand. She felt the anger well up inside her. Not again, she thought. Things had been tense ever since Pete lost his job. Lisa's travel schedule didn't help matters. She had tried to forgive Pete's last transgression and put that incident behind her. Behind them, for the sake of their marriage. But it was clear now that Pete had better things to do with his time than find work. Although Lisa was saddened at the thought of what would come next, she also found it liberating. Sometimes marriages, like perfume, linger a little too long.
Oh, yes, they do. No, never. Never in a million years. You're so wrong. Thank you, Jeffrey, for pointing out the. Never mind. Let's keep going here. So let's see. Looking down the list, I've put everything in the weekly challenge folder. I've saved off all the MP3s or what passes for them, and I haven't done the blog post part of it yet. I posted up the next topic, but I'm just laying back here, like, really, do I have to? I'm not even doing my laundry right now. Usually I'm doing that at the same time, but I was like, let's see, I went to sleep at 2 in the morning, I woke up at 7, yeah, I'm just a bundle of energy. And do I make coffee? No. Did I remember to get Bailey's in the past week? No. Totally forgot, totally spaced. So, without Bailey's, can't get any today because of the stupid liquor laws. I mean, what does it matter that it's Sunday? Bailey's. I mean, if churches knew what they were doing, you know, the sacramental wine, no. They change it out every week with, oh, this week it will be you're drinking the blood of Christ as Bailey's. And, you know, more people would go to church, and they'd pour it in their coffee. Oh, I got the blood of Christ in my coffee. That tastes good. You see? That's recruitment. Or you have Emeril Lagasse come by, and he makes up the body and stuff instead of crackers. Oh, my God. You know, matzah's bad enough. Where am I? Oh, right. Muncie is here. And what are we again? The Justice League? Okay. We are the Justice League, and we are now getting our marching orders from Muncie. Stay tuned. Did that sound genuine?
Greetings, Justice friends, and congratulations on surviving last week's battle with the Injustice enemies. They had us on the ropes there for a minute, I know, but through the power of teamwork we prevailed, as you well know. And hey, who knew Zackman could throw a car with enough velocity to knock the anti-monster through a brick wall? Well done, Zackman! But that was then, and this is now. Though, technically, this is also then for me, since these stories are pre-recorded. But for you, this is now, because you're listening to it now. It's just that I recorded it then, which is now as I'm doing it, but will be then by the time you listen to it, which is now to you, but to me, is the future. What's the future like?
Shut up, Munzee!
I knew keeping the Shut Up, Munzee sound file would come in handy. Story time! She Loved the Attention by Christopher Monroe. Whenever she got bored, she pretended narcolepsy. When unpleasant, awkward lulls arose in conversation, or topics no longer interested her, she'd collapse, just to throw some energy into the party. She hoped this would encourage us to be more interesting. Nothing could be further from the truth. Within weeks of learning of this bold new habit of hers, we'd developed a stock of intentionally uninteresting stories. By the end of the year, we'd made ourselves the dullest social group imaginable. Oh, we were still interesting when she wasn't around. But whatever we might have to say, her faux fainting was funnier. Broken Escalator still out there tweets at Munzee Munzee. By the time you hear this, I'll have been in Vegas for a week. No reason, I just wanted to. Assuming I don't win big, I'll be back with another story next week. If I do win big, I'll see you in person when I fly to your home and read you the story, which will probably be uncomfortable for all involved. Nonetheless, I said it out loud, so I can't go back on it now.
It'll be uncomfortable for all involved? What, are you going to sit on them while reading it, pummeling them in the chest? No, you should, you know, possibly give them a back rub while reading it. Well, then again, you're going to be a bazillionaire, so why would you? Okay, you'd have someone give them a back rub. There. Comfortable. You know, I'm trying to get to Vegas again. I've got money at Southwest. They did their summer fling, and I put in, like, you know, two spot, you know, times for wandering off. I want to go to Orlando. I first need my Disney Silver Pass from the wife, who 2 weeks running, you know, could you talk to your HR people? You talk to your HR people. Could you? Oh, yeah, you're busy. Could you talk to your HR people? I miss the gold pass. That was like, you know, everything. And, you know, would you like some more? It's like, yeah, sure. Although it didn't cover alcohol. So Epcot, Bass, and Newcastle. It's like, yeah, I'm We're the Animal Kingdom. I want to throw up on a panda. So, right. Oh, thank you, Muncie. You make everything groovy. Someone who can make things even groovier is Richard. He's got stories. He's got a bunch of them. Would you like to hear them? No? Well, what the hell's wrong with you? Here's Richard's stories. You're going to like them. Damn it.
Good morning, everyone. Here's a question for you. If Shakespeare had written drabbles instead of plays and sonnets, would we bother with him today? Discuss. Here's my first story this week on the theme of faint. George's journey was pretty unsettling. The empty streets spoke of violence and danger, but were silent as to any cause. Every open doorway was a threat. Every broken window held dread. He took to walking in the middle of the roadway, nervously glancing from side to side at the buildings he passed. Suddenly, a faint and unexpected sound broke the silence. An engine firing, followed by screeching tires and a stuttering exhaust. The familiar noise revived George's hope. He was no expert, but he was pretty sure that neither aliens nor zombies were likely to be driving round in cars. My next story is called Salvage. There it was again. The faint metallic tapping carried distinctly through the hull. It meant survivors. Somewhere in the stricken ship, an air pocket had created a safe haven for those fortunate enough to find it. It would be a hell of a job locating them, though. The dive master swam up beside me. The sounds rang out again. Three short. Three long. Three short. He looked at me grimly, then shook his head before swimming away. It would take too long to find the survivors. And time is money. Far too much money when you have a wreck to salvage. And this one is called Artistic License. The graceful, gentle feint that the movies like to portray is a myth. Nobody in the real world faints gracefully. In reality, they pass out and collapse, crashing to the floor, eyes rolled back and tongue lolling unattractively. Coming round is traumatic. Confusion and mild panic reigns as the victim gasps and claws the air to catch that first breath. Yet, even the most true-to-life screenplays would have us believe otherwise. Such is the sugar-coated world that artistic license demands. Don't even get me started about being on the receiving end of a punch to the face. And another for you. This one is called Passengers. One day, a mild-mannered, perfectly respectable passenger on the train or bus or plane will snap. They will lunge at another passenger, hands around their throat, crushing their windpipe, squeezing every last breath from the struggling body of their unfortunate victim. And then, our mild-mannered traveller will return quietly to reading their morning paper, as fellow travellers around them applaud. One day, a mild-mannered passenger, driven to distraction by the percussive, mindless intrusion of another passenger's iPod on full volume, will murder the offender in cold blood. And I could well be that mild-mannered passenger. And one last story for you this week. It's called Almonds. The faint whiff of almonds filled the air, bringing with it images of marzipan and fruitcake, the memories of my dear grandmother. Her fruitcake was always disgusting to my young mind, but I'd peel away the icing and marzipan enveloping it, gorging myself on the sweet and sickly treat until I felt quite ill. Oddly, I found myself feeling rather sick right now. My head was pounding and my lips tasted bitter. Desperately, I tried to recall what they'd told us at base. Something about almonds. Ah, yes. That was it. Strychnine is characterized by the telltale aroma of almonds. And that's about it for this week. I'll speak to you all soon. Goodbye.
Almonds. What if Shakespeare wrote travels? Well, I don't bother with them now. Why would I bother with them if he wrote... Well, okay. If he wrote travels and sent them to the 100 Word Stories podcast weekly challenge on the topic of faint, yes, I'd include them with all the forsooths and harks and all that crap. But, really? Isn't... I would say... If you want Shakespeare, I think Singh could run circles around him. It would be like a gang fight. With the faint smell of almonds. Oh, thank you, Richard. What am I on this week? I am really just rambling. I should just say, hey, Zach man, take the mic for a spell so that I don't have to ramble more. And then he would come up and the lights would come up and maybe a little smoke machine with a faint smell of almonds. Oh, here he is.
Hear that faint buzzing? When it stops, that means it has landed. You grab the swatter, hold it up in the air, bring it down towards the head of the creature, but at the last second, hit right behind it. What are you doing with that boy? Dear, I am teaching your son useful ways to use his hunting instinct and hopefully decrease the pest population. What did Father teach you, Precious? If I see a fly standing still, I faint hitting it in the head, but hit behind so... When the fly flies backwards, it meets the swatter.
There you go, folks. Some practical advice from Zach Mann here on the 100 Word Stories podcast. It's not just crazy stories. You actually learn something every week. And if you've been listening for over 370 weeks, you should have a master's in everythingology. So, we'll have a graduation ceremony. It'll be, well, actually, what'll happen is, if Muncie wins the jackpot, he's going to go around, fly around, the back rub from a professional masseuse, and reading the story, and he'll hand you your diploma for that master's in everythingology. See how the bonuses are stacking up? Do you get this kind of service from Drabblecast? No. Escape Pod? No. History According to Bob? No. You get this from us. All of us here, the Just Us friends at what was the podcast? I don't know. What the hell does One A Day Until the Day I Die have to do with 100 Word Story? The 100wordstories.com people, I mean, it's like, hey, you want to, no response. Hey, come on, you know, I'm the one who suggested you get that originally, you're not really using it anymore. No. It's like, okay, fine. I'm going to be clever with my URL, because you can have any URL you want in the world, except for the ones that are already in use, and the ones that the domain squatters use, because they're subsidized by the registration companies. But it's all just crock. When IPv6 stomps all these people, ha ha ha. Times they will be a-changin'. And then you can grab Microsoft.com and IPv6. What? That's not how it works. Well, that sucks. Not that I was going to get Microsoft.com or whatever. But Apple, I like to eat apples. After this, I'm going to get the laundry done, and I'm going to go to Central Market, or maybe HEB. Same thing, really. And then get some Honeycrisp apples and some yogurt and pie. No, you can't have any. Unless Muncie brings it while doing the stuff. So here is, who is next? Oh, God. Looking down the Serendipity. All right. Man, this podcast can be 5 hours long.
Through the pain, I could still hear them speaking. Faint and distant, but perfectly clear. The sound of a single tone filled the room. Then silence. Followed by more faint but perfectly understandable voices. I'm afraid we've lost her. Are we all agreed? Yes. Time of death, 12:43. I felt tape being peeled from my skin and heard the clatter of steel against steel. Then the cool rustle as the sheet was drawn across my face. No, I'm alive. I protested. I'm not dead yet. Not at all. It was no good. My voice was just too faint.
Aww. Thank you, Serendipity. That's just sad. Oh, and if you're in Second Life, what sim is on? Look on the site slcommunitycelebration.com. Look on all the lists that Harper made, which I don't think she has an all list, which would have made too much sense, because then you could just hit Control F and then type in someone's name and, oh, they're over there. No, they broke it up by sim. Well, if I knew what sim it was on, I wouldn't have to look it up. You see, this is what happens when I'm not on the staff. All hell breaks loose. So, really, somewhere on the east side's about, Serendipity has this exhibit, big clocks and everything and all that. I like that, by the way. But it's kind of a boxy kind of thing. But when it comes to big boxy kind of things, it's not as ugly as Mel Burns' build. And really, Gracie? Gracie Kendall, come on. You know, if you're calling yourself an artist for splash and paint across a canvas, I'm going to go to the grocery store, pick up a whole bunch of random groceries, come back home, toss them across my stove, and call myself a master chef. Really? Come on, man. From the I was trying to get some beautiful photos of the big tree in the SL10B community celebration. Is it a mesh sign? But I was trying to get it right back, and, you know, you have to have a draw distance set to get the whole enough of the tree to get the backside. And what sneaks in? What creeps in? Gracie's fucking splotchy cube. Ah. Oh, pisses me off. These big fucking builds, all glow, full bright, always fuck up shots, no matter how hard you try. And it's like, derender, derender, derender. No, she's an artist. She's too cool to link it all together to make it so that you can temporary derender it. Because that, you know, that's not art. God. I'm sure there's going to be one or two people who actually bother to listen to this. We'll go, you're being mean and a bully. No, fuck. Oh, sorry. Did I get off on a ramble again? This podcast is going to be like 20 hours long. And it's not going to have all the participants that there were for that Relay for Life thing. Oh, I'm not doing that again. 110 stories for a weekly challenge? What am I, nuts? And there were more than one from some people. And then there were people like, fish pie. That was 100 words. No, it wasn't. There was 2 words. No, that was 100 words, man. It's really? Maybe in base 1. Wait, base 1 wouldn't... 1? No, there's no such thing as base 1. Cool! The realizations you have when you're doing weekly challenges. So we got a lot more stories to go here. I hope you've skipped ahead. One day I will run GarageBand to let you just go skip, 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 skip. And of course I'll have the chapter sections begin with everybody's story. How would you like that? Post in the comments if you want that. I will try to learn GarageBand one of these days. I'm on a freaking Mac, and what am I doing? I'm using Audacity. How lazy am I? I've been using this software for 8 years. You get in a rut, but you don't see the glory of, hey, GarageBand can do this, and GarageBand can do that, and iMovie can do that. And it's like, okay, Snagit can do this. Really, thank you. You know, I'm just not taking advantage of the joy. I am pounding screws into the wall with a hammer. I really need to learn the tools. As if I've ever bothered learning them before. I know what flange is, all right? I know what it does. Do I use it? No. One day I'll use flange. One day I'll be the flange cast. Until then, we have Toro Bregiano to fall back on. As long as, you know, wearing the padded clothes that Muncie suggests for the justice. Never mind. Here's Toro.
Grey fingers of dawn opened the sky. Dew lifted from grass into drifting mist. The body of a man. 3 crossbow bolts protruding from his armor. More bodies. Hundreds. Scattered over the meadow. One lay against a tree. He gasped and opened his eyes, grimacing as his hand tightened on his sword. A body lay across his leg, too heavy to shift. As long as I shall live, he began. He drew breath again. My hand shall defend thee. As long as I shall live, our love shall live. As long. Above the silent battlefield, the crows began to arrive.
Ouch. That's pretty bad. Dude, someone sign him up for Obamacare. Thank you, Tura. And I don't know if that works on, you know, it's just for us Americans, little kitty cat. I've got mist on my tummy. Yeah, who's a good little girl? Yeah. Who's got little bright green eyes? Pretty girl. Her eyes change from yellow to green when she's happy. Yeah. You're a good girl. Good little baby panther get you on the chinny chin. Yeah, it's so rare that you're on my tummy anymore. Tinny does that now and then, but no, you've completely flipped out. Yeah, you're a good girl. Okay, and go back to what you were doing. I grabbed on you. All right, so, Tura, where are we in the list? Oh, it's time for Sing. Okay, oh, crap. I didn't... He uses this wacky service sometimes. Hold on. And it's on... You send it. From a difficulty in sending with... Your file will expire... Okay. So I click. And there's a receipt for you send it. Enter your email address. Full of crap. At gmail.com. And I hit continue. Your email is already registered? What's my password? Seriously? Invalid password. Use the YouSendIt password associated with this. Type it in. Doesn't take enter. You gotta hit. No, that's still invalid. All right. I hit enter. I'm supposed to hit the log. Invalid password. Invalid password. Invalid. Oh crap! A pain in the ass. Do file attachments not work in Bali or something? I know. Click the submit button. The processing. We have sent you an email with a link to reset your password. Ha ha ha. Okay, fine. Click you send it. Click there. Folks, really, don't make me jump through hoops to get this stuff done. Saying, can you just attach the file? Are there people somewhere out there? Your password has been changed now. You may log in with your password. All right. No, I'm going to record this all. Okay, don't miss out. Enhance your account right now. No, I don't need enhancement. I'm lucky enough to get in here. Okay, blah, blah, blah. Download now. This file is ready for you to download. All right, click on I clicked on download. This file is ready for you to download. Download now. There, I clicked on download. Download, motherfucker. And it now takes me to click on another freaking button to download. My God. Dude, please, just attach the file. And those of you who put in PDFs or doc files or WordStar files with your stories, no, no, no. Copy the text and put it in the body of the email. The email was originally for just text. It handles text beautifully. It does it well. All right, where is it? Bali Snapshots Show and Folder. Okay, there it is in downloads. I can drag and drop it into my folder there. Oh, I feel like I've had a workout. I may need to go into the Turkish bath and get swatted with bay leaves. Oh, man. All right. So that's what it takes to get a file detached, I guess. All right. Here, now that you've suffered through all this whining and bitching, here's Singh and his stories, because it was worth it. I will prove to you now that it was worth all that effort. And when this is done, not only will you thank him for the adventure that he's taken you on, but me for having braved the adventure of getting the file to share with you. I deserve a medal.
Bali Snapshots by Chris Munisi. Dancing face.
Darcy, come!
Says the woman on the bridge path. We divert off the busy mountain road. Then I see she is selling batik sarongs, and her friendliness is a marketing ruse, a feint.
Where you come from?
Australia, I say. She says with exaggerated interest, her eyebrows going up, eyeballs big as marbles, her expression becomes a dancing mask. She moves from foot to foot, gesturing with her fingers. But I walk on past the old man, her sales partner. Come, I said to my wife. She shuffles forward onto the bridge and gazes down.
Look, there,
she points. Two. Bridge.
What are they doing?
She asks with urgency, like when something unusual is about to happen in a movie. How would I know, darling? We stare down at the swirling confluence where the two rushing rivers meet. A family has gathered on the bank. They are muttering prayers and throwing frangipani flowers into the fast water. The man lifts half a coconut shell with two hands. The offering of powdery dust flies into the face of the wind. Cremation ashes, I say.
Oh, Lord.
Come on. We have a reservation, I say. Our restaurant overlooks the river.
I'm not hungry,
she answers. Three. Holiness. She serves nightly in the Hill Forest restaurant. The camphor beams, floorboards and bamboo thatch need no walls above the gurgling river.
It's a holy place,
she says, touching her heart, wearing the white blouse, coloured sash and kebaya traditional for Balinese women.
This night, something blows against my neck. I tell him nothing.
Really? I look down to the river through mountain ferns. It's a special place, I say, and then add, but what is more holy is that you have worked here every night, not doing anything else these past 20 years. She closes her eyes, smiles, and bows. For art. After changing money, I walk back past an art gallery. There are portraits of topless Balinese sarong girls, untouchable behind glass. Back in the car, my wife says,
"You are looking at them?"
"Yeah, it's art," I say, and look to our guide. "When did the women stop going topless here?" "The 1930s, the Dutch missionary stopped it," he narrates. Antonius Jody is a rare Catholic in this 90% Hindu island. His grandmother still refused to wear anything on top, said it was uncomfortable. "There you are," I say, completely natural. My wife looks at me with dry skepticism. 5. Signs. We are low on petrol, so Jody pulls into a Portamina service station. Buying petrol cut with kerosene can be a problem, he reports. We notice the owner has put up a reassuring sign tacked to the stem of a banana palm. "My petrol is more pure than your love." Later, rejoining the crazy snake of traffic, there are more road signs, courtesy of the Bali Police Traffic Education Unit. "It is forbidden to have accidents here," one proclaims. 500 meters on, "The hospitals are full." Then a final word, another 500 meters on, seals things. "The hospital is still full." Six. Temple visit. The guide takes us to Tanan Lot Temple. Carved from volcanic rock, it stretches into the sea. In the 15th century, the Javanese Raja sent a Hindu priest to walk the black coastlines and share his teachings. Here, he struck the outcrop and fresh water gushed forth. The fishermen carved a temple. Trees grew above the cave that smells of batshit. I tried to pick up my wife walking with Jody amongst the thousands who've come to pray or play. I'm glad to sit. A bird kite flies above the temple. Blustery surf still crashes against the black land.
3 words come to mind. Told you so. And thank you, Singh. I'd better sit up for this. I'm getting so tired of using the trackpad. I've got this mouse that's plugged in. No, I'm not going to use a Bluetooth mouse. You know, although some of them have rechargeable batteries. What we need to do is run a power cord to this coffee table and have a power strip hidden under it. Or get a table that... No. It's not really a coffee table, it's a map table. A bunch of crap in it. Those cat toys that, you know, are from the Edlo days. And it's like, maybe we should actually play with the cats with these. It reminds me of in grade school. First grade. The teacher would ask for everyone to bring in a box of Kleenex. So that there would be Kleenex for everyone, because I guess, you know, even back then, you know, they were chintzy on the school supplies. And so everyone brought them in, and yet I was still wiping my nose on my sleeve because, can I have some Kleenex? I feel, no, You've sneezed enough today. What's wrong with you? Go to the nurse. So I had to, you know, it's a cruel world. And you learn early on that there are things that just don't make any sense. I think that's what the lesson was with the Kleenex thing. Stuff just doesn't make any freaking sense. I'm going to light some incense now. I've got a ton of incense. I never use it. And what's coming up around the corner now that June is almost over? That's right, Renaissance Festival. And July 4th, there's a 1 p.m. baseball game. And July 24th, if you're in town, if you're in Houston, and you're in a mood to catch some baseball with me, drop me a line. Okay, so I'm not going to pay for your ticket if I'm sitting in the good seats, but if we go to the cheap seats, oh, I've got you covered. There, how's them apples? Actually, I do need to get more apples. And pears. Oh, my God. I remember to get pears this time. And pluots. Oh. Although, Whole Foods does not have Honeycrisp. We have a Whole Foods right down the street from work. So, sometimes I'll be like, I'm going to be a few minutes late. Take an early bus, walk all along Kirby, get the apples. Although, New Zealand Braeburns, blech, Gala, Jazz, Honeycrisp. Sometimes Fuji. But never Red Delicious. Golden Delicious are only good if you do a fondue. Which, I don't know, maybe we'll do that for dinner tonight. That'd be nice. I haven't done that in forever. And I need to make some bread for Tobin. Really cool guy that I used to work with. There's a lot of good people, good-hearted people who maybe they've lost the mission of television and the serving the public, but it's not like they're trying to exploit them. And they're fighting the system. And it's just a job, you know? It's not like they're making it worse, like the promos people. How about I just shut up and drag and drop another story into the mix? Where the hell is that folder? Okay, so we had saying, so it's Steven the Nuclear Man. Is this podcast 20 hours long yet?
Hey, Steven the Nuclear Man here. I've been really busy lately getting a Kickstarter together for What Fates Impose. It's edited by Nyad Monroe. It's an anthology of tales of divination. It includes peeps. Check out our Kickstarter at bit.ly/kickfate. KICKFATE. Thanks. She flickers. No, 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 no. My words blur like my typing fingers pulling up source code. I'm tired, John. She puts a hand to her head. I'm dizzy. Sweat beads on my forehead. It'll be okay, honey. There's an edge to her fading voice. You're always working on the computer. I have a good reason. Keep typing. Keep debugging. Computer instead of me. Her voice is half static. You time with me. I look. Her eyes are 8-bit and translucent and closing. My wife, 2 years dead, derezes again. I have a good reason. I start typing through the tears. A good reason.
Cool. I like that. And the Kickstarter, bit.ly/kickfate. Kick fate in the crotch, baby. I'm looking at this Kickstarter, and I wanted to just click and do all that while... But I'm looking, it's like the apocryphy, the eight ball, I'm confused. This is confusing, I don't know all the levels. Which am I supposed to pick? Dude, you tell me which to pick, and I'll pick it, okay? Although... don't tell me to pick the $195 one. I'm trying to save up for something. But, I mean, if it's like $50, $75, okay. All right. And I'm like, I don't really need, like, okay, a sign. What will get me a signed book? You tell me. What will get me a signed book? And then I'll get the level above it, but still, you know, that'll be a little extra. But I'll ask for just the signed book. What gets me the signed book? I don't need any things translated into digital. That's a cool thing you're offering. That's neat. Because there are people like me that are like, hey, I have a bunch of material. It really ought to be out on Kindle for a bazillion dollars. And then Muncie won't have to gamble for it. One of these days, I've actually translated my stuff to Kindle and iBook and all that. And, well, it's all out of date now because I've got like 200 more stories. But it's all there. It's like the omnipocalypse. What would describe the 100-word stories, 8 years of stuff out there? What would describe it? What would you say describes? And it would just be mine. The weekly challenge things, I would collect up but offer for free because I don't have the right to profit off of your stuff. Although, here's the moral dilemma. You've been sending stories in and building up, you know, your audience is coming here to listen. So if I sell a book, is it fair? Because you've brought those people, I should give something back to you. I should be thanking you. I should be doing the Kickstarter thing and then having things like buy Muncie some pie, get Zach Mann a cool hat, Justin for his children's college fund, that kind of thing. That would be a neat Kickstarter where it's pay it back, where you send in, you know, you challenge the money and then I would be like, okay, let's do something nice with it for someone who's been a part of it. Ellison, he just lost Levon. We'd get him a new kitty. You see? He was the one who came and visited Edlow those years ago, and I will never, never forget that. I wish that he would come back to this. I know he posts 100-word stories on his stuff and all that. He doesn't work. What? Did you take a crossbow bolt to the throat in Tourist Story? Is that you in the story? Really, I miss you. I miss all the people that have ever left, except a few who turned out to be scum. But all the others, you're not. But if you're listening to my voice, you're not the scum. So, really, please come back. I'm begging you. But I am not going to forsake the ones who are loyal and keep trying, even though they take a break now and then. Like Danny. I would not sacrifice Danny to get Allison back, or Caleb, or Lisa from Lemons and Lollipops, or Guy David. There's another example. Wrote cool stuff, surreal, blew my mind. He's doing stuff now on his other sites. What site is it now? I don't know. But wherever it is, I'm sure I've got it liked, and I see it occasionally when I remember to go to Facebook. Still, I would not sacrifice Tura or Steven the Nuclear Man, or Danny, or Zach Man, or who's coming up next, so I can make this topical, so I can make a segue and escape. Cliff, Uncle Monster, I would never sacrifice any of you just to get back one of these people. And because they would be, like, gone in a heartbeat next. You know, you people keep coming back, and I need to cherish it. Time is fleeting. A friend of mine, back from the station, is not doing so well. And I'm worried. And I thought, you know, it's okay. He's doing this. You know, it's just a little rough spot. No, it's pretty bad. And, good folks, man. He was a good guy. And I got a visit. I'm getting old enough where you visit these people. You know? You're not dragged to it from your mom and dad to, hey, let's go see great-grandma Yikshkebek. You know? Shit, they were all named Rose and Harry anyway. Wait, I thought Rose and Rose died. I thought Uncle Harry died. No, you've got a few more. Welcome to my world. It's like you don't want to say that when you're actually in the hospital room. Wait, I thought they already died. No, that was the other one. Yeah, that really. How about I write a 100-word story on that? How about I just shut up and play Uncle Monster? Man, I'm super neurotic this week. this is going to be 2 hours long. I'm sorry. I'll give you your money back. We'll have a Kickstarter. Just click whatever level money you spent, and I'll give it back. And, you know, for $0, you get a kick in the pants. For $1, the front of your pants. All right, here's... Wow.
I can barely hear her voice. I thought she was far away, but I realize now there's just so much material between us, it sounds like she's distant. Thinking about how the building was laid out, I know she's only yards from me. My body aches in places and is completely numb in others. The quake was big. It'll be hours before anyone starts digging. Hours that we don't have. Finally, through the pain in my chest, I draw a breath and call back. I let her know I'm here. I let her know that she won't die alone.
Thank you, Cliff. That touched is the heartstrings and the heart silly strings and the crotch unicorn and everything. Oh, watch the Frank's Teddy operation. What? Another file? People breaking things into multiple files. It's another thing that sometimes drives me up the wall. I mean, really, you know, don't attach documents. Screw it. Cliff's other story. I hope this one's funny.
Everyone made fun of Sarah because she fainted all the time. A paper cut draws blood? Bam! A scary movie monster jumps onto the screen? Sarah's out cold. The doctor said there was nothing wrong with her. She just fainted a lot. So we were all stunned when we heard what happened. A serial rapist broke in as she was fixing dinner. She nearly killed him with a frying pan. The EMT said he'd probably live, but he'd be disfigured for life. But when Sarah noticed that she'd torn a nail during the beating, she was out like a light.
Okay, that one was sad, too. Don't I look like an ass? Thank you, Uncle Monster, for making me look like an ass. Okay, helping me make myself look like an ass. Take ownership of your failings. That's what they said on the parole hearing. Right. We're almost at the hour mark, and we're still not done. And I've got like 1, 2, 3 in a row that I have to read myself coming up. Three people. Are microphones the latest casualty of the rotten economy? Really? Are your voices that horrid? You are beautiful. You are powerful. Go watch that TED Talk or video or whatever the hell where that person says all these wonderful things and then tells these horrid stories about these people who were beaten up and yelled at. And I'm not yelling at you. I'm yelling at your fear. Just really. And also that whole Stephen Colbert thing where he said all these wonderful things about his mother and then kicked straight back into the show. Really? Really, your mom is... moms are very supportive, but come on. Really? Really? Actor boy? I know you're hurting, but turning into a plug for your own show? I'm just cynical. Here's Lizzie. She'll brighten us up.
Summer started after a long, cold, and rainy winter, so people were eager to enjoy the sun. All geared up with new swimsuits, they didn't hesitate to march towards the beach. The sign did say no swimming, but no one paid any attention. After all, sharks were extinct. Suddenly, a woman screamed, horrified. The beach controller, a new model still being tested, pulverized all the swimmers, leaving a faint smell of blood in the air. The summer joy was quickly gone, and the engineer responsible for this particular robot was pulverized as well. Later, and in private, at the company's headquarters. This was my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizzygoodkoff.blogspot.com, and also drop by ires.me. Plenty of interesting posts there from bloggers participating in June Avatar Blogger Month. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Ha 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 ha! Ha 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 ha! That'll teach them. Thank you, Lizzie, for doling out a little random justice to the boys of summer. You know what, a little random justice, a little mob justice? Paula Deen. Okay, so there's some people defending her because it's like, oh, come on, everybody uses that word. And there's some people that are like, we should stomp everyone who uses that word. But really, the catered parties with that theme, well, at least she was giving them jobs. But no, that's just, oh, but that's a southern thing. Well, a northern thing is to burn Atlanta. Oh, well, whoops, Atlanta burned. You're worse off than New Orleans now. No, there's just some things that are wrong. But the problem is we don't ostracize everybody who uses that word. And don't tell me that that word is for the sole use of a certain demographic, a certain segment of the population that it's used to denigrate. No, a term that denigrates you and you... I know that the whole queer thing was flipped around and used as a term of pride. Okay? But then again, the original use of the word was something else. I don't think the N-word was used for anything else until it was brought up. Although, I'm sure there's an etymology somewhere and there's going to be a show on the Discovery Channel or maybe BET. But really, all the rappers who use that word, all the comedians, all the whatevers, and the person who said, replace that word with robot and Mark Twain. Okay, that was funny. But really, can we just, you know, oh, we should use it. You know, I follow the Bill Cosby philosophy, which is pull your damn pants up and speak English. Take some pride. And not just in a culture that is anti-pride. So, you know, it's like, oh, well, I'm going to celebrate failure. I'm going to celebrate drugs. Why doesn't the National Organization for Women stomp the crap out of people who call women bitches and hoes and skanks and sluts? Really? It just, why can't we treat each other politely? And, okay, so she used the word on someone who was robbing her. I'm sure that the person robbing her was using terms on her. Her biggest crime, I guess, in this society and age, okay, was using the word, but the second crime was being honest when asked. I guess that's the one thing we can't stand, and that's TV people who are honest. Oh, I'm not defending her. I really think that she should be off the air because of all the horrible recipes that she creates that cause heart attacks and strokes and obesity. And, well, also you drink beer with them. Crappy, light beer. What was I saying? Man, I really don't want to read these stories for people, but I say, you know, either send the story in or I'll read it for you. I promised, and a promise is important. Here's Red Goddess. Let's find out about Lola. Maybe she used the N-word and got thrown off of Food TV. Lola is baffled by the random events held at the hotel. The ballroom can be transformed into any theme that suits clients' ever-revolving tastes. Last week, there was a bachelor and a Sweet 16 party on the same day. This weekend, Lola will oversee a popular beauty pageant. The lobby is already filled with Barbie lookalikes of all shades and hair colors. They're practicing their runway walks in their rooms, hallways, and in the bathrooms. Wherever there is a mirror, you can find them staring into self-doubt and wishful thinking. Lola can't imagine herself subjecting herself to this charade to win a crown. She would faint during the bathing suit competition and throw up on her gown. What exactly sets her apart from these hopeful contestants parading in front of strangers for a high score and prize money? Lola doesn't approve, but she can't play judge when she herself has made some questionable choices for a payday. cold read, baby. From the heart. You can throw them at me. You can put in scientific terms. You can throw in words from languages that have been dead for thousands of years. Cold read. Because it's from the heart. Thank you, Bread Goddess. What? Another person that didn't read and didn't record and didn't send? Ha! Ishtar, you think you can take me on? All right. Let's do this. I'm rolling up. No way. I'm actually wearing a t-shirt. I can't roll up my sleeves. All right. Let's go for this one. And this is going to be... It's going to be magical. I'm telling you. Magical. Unicorn farting magical. You're going to see rainbows come out of your iPod. 10 more feet, and I can give in. I can faint, submit to the dark. The alarm is blaring so loudly, I want to scream. 8 more feet. I can push that damn button. End it all. Give in. We should have listened. We gave up our liberties to stay safe. Now look at us. 5 more feet. Guards rushing down the hall. Push the button. End the madness. Freedom reigns again, they said. 3 more feet. Oh, too much blood loss. I have to end this insanity. Click. The guns cocked against my head. Do I push it? Live or die. Do Saturn Awards cover this? Because I'm just going to clear off the mantelpiece in anticipation of a whole slew of them, baby. Oh, thank you, Ishtar. And it's good to have you back. But I wouldn't sacrifice... what was this? All right. Checking that note. I'm getting notes here and there. I already sent those back. All right, delete that. Delete that. And back into the list. Oh, we got someone new. Rodney Wilder. He's over at iMosaic. There's a dash in there somewhere. .blogspot.com. It's going to be in the show notes. It's going to be in the show notes. You don't have to write anything down. You just got to click. You've already got it like as your opening homepage anyway. And, okay, his story, and, ooh, that's actually a good topic. I'm going to slide that in somehow. I really need to do another pick too soon, because people are sending some really good topics in. And, single frame stories, there was an interview with, Whiskey, who talked about keeping the topics inspiring, and Botgirl, I think, has talked about that, where they're not limiting. But they enhance. And some people are like, yeah, you want to have to write on a topic. Well, shut up. Need your frickin' Brussels sprouts, too. But there are those folks who are inspired by them. And it's cool to see where people launch themselves from these topics. So, of course, they don't record their stories. So, here's Rodney's story, read by YT, yours truly. Someone told Josh not to stare at the sun. He couldn't remember who. More important things were on his mind, like the strange colors coruscating from it and scattering flakes into the pool blue sky. They weren't like the colors he'd seen before. He had heard his classmates scrabbling over the blacktop, but even the swing's squeaky taunt couldn't break his concentration. The colors were changing. They were shaped. His friend, he forgot her name. She had a pet snake. They look like that, but black snakes slithering off the sun. He blinked. What writhed behind his eyelids pitched him headlong into the pavement. Thank you, Rodney, and welcome to the podcast. Welcome to the fun here. And folks, do not stare into the sun. I am surprised that more people don't wind up blind because of the sun up there. I know it's instinct to look away from it, but there are some really stupid people out there. People who eat Paula... We eat Paula Deen's cooking, for Christ's sake, with all the butter and lard and fat and gristle and cyanide in it. I'm sure that she has cyanide in there. They edit that out for the TV, but when it comes to the restaurants, oh, they get it by the truckload. And what do? We eat it. We stare at the sun. We burn this petroleum that could be turned into marvelous plastics and other life-saving devices. We do these horrible, stupid things to ourselves. Why? Why? Because we deserve it. Sorry. What? We got more? God, this has been a ramble. I promise, next week will be under 20 minutes. Okay, what are you two running around for? Tinny just chased Mist. Misty? She's a quarter of your age. Do not let the kitten tell you what to do. All right? You're the alpha. And she walks through the bookshelf. We got to get him new collars. And Tinny's like, ooh, ooh, I can harass the baby panther. Eee! And her tongue's hanging out. She's happy. Oh, she went squeakies. Okay. Next story. Caledonia's back. Caledonia Sky Tower of the Shaunakee Library of the Judith Cullen stories and this stuff and that stuff. And here, I'll let her explain. She usually says all that stuff. If she doesn't, I'm going to sound like such a dingbat.
100-word story, Faint, written and read by Judith Cullen. It's a veggie carb day on my menu cycle. It's self-imposed and pretty successful so far. I want protein. I am craving protein. A hamburger, some barbecued pork, even some refried beans. Thoughts of fried chicken are mocking me. Nyah, nyah, you can't have me. Bullshit. Just wait until tomorrow. Giggling triumphantly, the chicken thoughts dance away, still teasing. I refill my trusty water bottle. Take a deep breath. Oh, God, someone's firing up a barbecue. Wafting scent of mesquite, I run around madly, shutting windows. Get away from me! The room starts to spin around. Fade to black. The Serial Faintress, with a small nod to Sir Arthur Conan Doyle and Peter Jackson. Hearing the noise behind me, I turn quickly and gasp aloud. I am positively shocked at what I see. Sherlock Holmes is standing smiling at me across my home office. Suddenly, a gray mist swirls before my eyes, and when it clears, he is bending over me, his flask in his hand. My dear lady, I owe you 1,000 apologies. I had no idea you would be so affected. But why are you in Tacoma? Then it appears that I faint again for the second time in my life. My head hits the floor with a dull thud. I open my eyes again with a sharp intake of breath and blink. I see a much younger face than the one I saw before. Dark, swirling hair frames the most remarkable pair of intense, changeable hazel eyes I have ever beheld. I look puzzled. Hello there. They call me Ben, but my actual name is Benedict. Season 3 of my acclaimed Sherlock series is coming, and I am in the next Hobbit movie. It's going to be excellent. You're a fan? The room starts to swirl around in a now familiar way, Everything gets dark, those eyes disappearing last. Returning to consciousness, thinking of how unreal this is, I shake my head to clear the haze. Someone is still here. Good Lord. Won't they leave me alone? This one has a brooding forehead, furrowed brows, but somehow he is compelling, breathtakingly handsome. His temple braids graze my cheeks. I am leading my kinsmen to retake our homeland and to reclaim the legacy of our fathers. We travel to Erebor. Have you seen Smaug the Terrible? I close my eyes, letting the fog roll back over me, and everything blinks out. There's just no point in getting up until they go away.
Damn it, now I'm craving protein too. I need a hamburger. I just had a hamburger on Friday on the way home. Fuddruckers. The Kobe Burger. $9 freaking bucks. Was it better than a hamburger? A little, but not $9 freaking bucks worth. Still, you know, there are places in town that'll sell burgers for like $20 and say, hey, you have all this and perfect. No, you're crap. Sorry. Thank you, Caledonia. I'm really, really not tightly screwed down this week. We're already at 115 minutes. How can you stand this, people? You should rebel against me. It's not the storyteller's fault. My stuff is just rambling and spilling over and sloshing over the sides. It's crazy, man. Crazy. Oh, I'm going to play Words with Fred. Hold on. I played low. They swap three tiles. We can do yet and ta. And there we go. I'm already beating them anyway. And I'm beating them too. Afts, so Q-I-S. And afts is not a word. Well, kiss my afts. Right. I should introduce the next story. Norval Joe, the man who invented the word Durgle, is back. And hold on. Q-A-I? No. That won't work there. Sorry, I know, you're interrupting me. Let's see, can we move there? No. Oh, loiters. Okay, so Q-I. Yes, I know, Q-I is such a cop-out. Q-I and Z-A. It's totally ruined it. It's just, and I know X-I has always been a, well, X-I is crap. And J-O. Cheap outs. I feel disgusting when I use those, but I still use them. I still use them. Here's Norval Joe.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of the Flying Island Press, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 374 with the prompt of faint. Here's my story. Durgle peered into Widow Finkelstein's canary cage. His wiener dog, Long John Silver, sat at his feet, but kept one ear turned toward the back door where the border collie whined. "I'm sorry. Your canary didn't faint. It's dead," Durgle said. "When did this happen?"
"Well, let me think. Missy was barking in the backyard for her breakfast and my toast popped. That's when I heard Bitsy hit the bottom of the cage."
"So she fainted 3 hours ago, and you think she's still alive?"
"No," Widow Finkelstein said, poking her finger at the unmoving bird. "She fainted yesterday morning."
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
I believe you when you say we'll see you next week, or you'll see me next week. Maybe Muncie will see me next week, but I believe you. I believe in you. I care deeply that you hold yourself to your word. Okay, so, Peter Voss art. There's some really cool stuff. out there. What is that a map of? Is that a map of Belgium? Do they allow that on the internet? I could use a shave. We still have more stories. I don't need to be waxing philosophically. God. I'm sure that Laura Zebracakes is going to be like, really? Really? Where's my story? I've been waiting 120 minutes. Actually, an hour and 20 minutes. That 120. This base 60 crap is stupid. Can we solve it? I know it's a historical age, but we've changed to the metric system, right? We can change to a metric clock. That makes sense. No, you know, too complicated. Too much legacy stuff and hardware invested. Oh, crap. You know, the Unix time. Based off, we can just change off of that. You know? Really? Can't we just fix this? I mean, there's only 7 billion people now. What until there's 100 billion people all across space? We're using a stupid base 60 system. Can't we fix some shit? Can't we just fix what we're doing wrong? The legacy stuff that doesn't make any freaking sense. Sweden changed, you know, from one side of the road to the other to make sense. Can't you change things to make sense when you really need to? Isn't there a better way? Maybe Justin can show us that better way. Tell us the story.
Nero Space Turtle. Justin Lomaster here from thespaceturtle.com. Just put a new post up today, which is yesterday by the time you're hearing this. My Star Trek Online stories. This game I'm going to be reading a story about is Dark Corners of the Earth, which is one of the few H.P. Lovecraft-inspired computer games, and it's pretty good. I liked it quite a lot. The screen would get all wibbly-wobbly when you saw something cray-cray. So you just tried to not look. I think I was... I gave you a score at the end of how crazy you were. It wasn't as crazy as possible, but here we go. I should have left as soon as I arrived, but missing persons are the most important cases. Of course, ever since I had to flee from the Gilman house, it got personal. Now I'm holding an alien weapon, under the ocean off the New England coast. I can hear the voices speaking unknowable polyglot incantations. I blast the weapon full power at the ceremonial gong. My ears start bleeding. But I can think straight to fight the onrushing deep ones. And maybe I can even defeat them before I'm eviscerated in their temple. A sacrifice to their dark, ancient god.
You make me want to play games again. You truly do. You're trying to lure me back into the love of games, and one day I will. I promise one day I will play games. This Shadow of the Avatar, and this other one, The Quest of the Avatar, these two different Ultima games that are being developed for, like, iOS or whatever, maybe that'll draw me out. Although I probably need to play it on an iPad, and I'm not going to load them on my wife's iPad. He never uses it. I'll just use my phone and squint. I read Carl Hiaasen's Bad Monkey on my iPhone. I did. I really did. All 1,200 pages of it, although I assume that if it's printed out, it's like 5 pages. I did a lot of tapping. But I read it all. And the thing I love about that, it paces you. If you're prone to skipping paragraphs and sentences because you're impatient, reading it as an ebook on your phone with the big text slows your punk ass down. And I really like that. The problem is, of course, what happens if I lose my account or someone hacks me or Apple calls me the next incarnation of Satan and, you know, tells me I'm not allowed to get my books. Or Apple is bought out by something evil like, oh, wait, Apple already is. So Google buys Apple, Apple buys Google, and Microsoft buys them both, and Amazon gets bought out by all three. And they're evil. But they're trying to do such good, but they're doing it in such an evil way. I know the artists deserve their money, and to sell somebody the same book over and over again, where you can just hand an album off down through the ages. Does Cole Porter get any more revenue from it? No, we're stealing from Cole Porter. Oh, wait, probably his grandchildren or great-grandchildren. What did they ever do to inspire Cole Porter? Maybe I would accept, you know, those kind of foundations, those kind of royalties to the children and grandchildren, if the songs are about those children and grandchildren. Okay, you get royalties. But if it's like A Kiss to Build a Dream On by Louis Anderson, that would be horrific. Louis Armstrong? Really? You know, was Kiss to Build a Dream On based on his grandchildren or great-grandchildren? No, you don't get the money. If I had grandchildren or great-grandchildren? Yeah, I'd be writing up stories that are like, oh God, really? What did you do now? Get your head out of that. No, you can't eat that. And stop pulling the cat's tail. And I would write stories about it, embarrassing them wholeheartedly, and therefore they would earn the royalties after they kill me and make it look like an accident. So, all right, one more story to go. I am really, really sorry, Ms. Zebra Cakes. I am sorry that I rambled so much. Your debut has been pushed back almost 90 minutes because I'm such a selfish pig. But I hope you forgive me. Forgive me in the comments, or crucify me in the comments. Don't leave me hanging there.
Hello, and this is Elle. And this is my submission for the weekly challenge, 100 Word Stories Podcast, regarding the topic, faint. This is also my very first submission, so be gentle. And here goes. Desperation permeated the wooden bar, overpowering the years of spilt drinks and cigarette smoke. Can the souls of inhabitants imprint on a building? Years uncounted, celebrating their sorrows in pint and empty conversation, a jukebox playing wrinkled memories of firmer days. She sought a face she hadn't already seen up close, early morning pale and breath-like. For every new experience was another proof of life, and the wolves at bay. There was no mystery left. She swooned, never dreaming such a word, a romance writer's favorite, would apply to her, and left for the dark streets, leaving her drink unfinished.
Thank you, Elle. Thank you for that. I think that's a good way to wrap things up for this week. And it's great that you're a part of this now. Keep coming back. Don't be like those folks who just, oh, I tried it. I walked to the edge of the cliff and now I'm going to come back. Oh, and everyone patting each other on the back. And the folks who own the cliff are like, oh, tourists. Don't be a tourist. Be a townie. Be a local. Be a part of the community. Not that there's much of one. But be a part of this group. They're good people. They're all, well, most of them are good people. But they're good people. They want to be good people, but except for this one. This one's Planet Z. You'll get to love them. I do.
The perfect glass of ice water. Just a hint of lemon. Fred didn't taste the lemon at all. He picked up the glass and drank it all down in 2 seconds. After refilling the glass from the kitchen sink tap, he gently shook the glass to melt the remaining ice a little, and he drank it empty again. Susan watched, and she wondered why she bothered slicing lemons and twisting them for Fred. One day she'd stop with the lemon. Instead, she'd slice up limes or oranges or pears or nothing at all. Fred downed a third glass of water.
And there you have it. A bunch of stories about faint, all in 100 words. Well, each of them, 100 words. Not all of them. If it was all in 100 words, we wouldn't be talking here 90 minutes into this MP3 file. No, you'd be off doing something. Although you're probably off doing something while doing this. Did you listen to this in all one fell swoop? I hope you didn't. I hope you took breaks. I hope you paced yourself. You don't want to strain yourself. Stretch. And now that you're done, put cotton in your ears and don't listen to anything for a while. Unless you're driving. I have to keep saying that. Because if someone wrecks and, oh, he told me to. Although, I think that anyone who would sue me for being so stupid. Really, I don't think stupid people listen to this show. Are there any stupid people that listen to this show? Go into the comments at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com or send a tweet at 100 word stories. My personal one is as full of crap, but really, come on. Let's get that 100 word stories one going. Or you can Facebook respond, Google Plus or Plurk or Pinterest? What? Is this a women's catalog? No. So, next week's topic, I had said tomato. Ha, ha, ha. So, tomato is next. I don't like tomatoes. I like ketchup. I've been called ketchup. But tomatoes, sometimes I never really got the hang of them. Pickled tomatoes, oh my God, those are so good. So, have some pickled tomatoes. Unless you're allergic to them, then stare longingly through the glass. And I'll see you next week. Until then, thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of the weekly challenge. I can't say that enough, but we're already 91 minutes into this, so I should shut up now. And as always, unlike me, keep it brief. And that's today's story. For more, go to the website podcasting.isfullofcrap.com. Thank you for listening, and as always, keep it brief.